case, if you've got that up, go ahead and
yes.
I want to live this life unsafe, unsure, but not afraid. What I want is to give all I got somehow. Giving up, letting go of control right now. Cause I'm
Alexis Saldarriaga. I'm from Medellin, Colombia. I'm part of the ministry here in Colombia. I coach the sector called Santo Domingo. Yes, definitely. It's been keeping away youth people and young kids from keeping them away from drugs. Illegal stuff, so it's been a blessing for us having you guys here.
Mi nombre es Alex Saldarriaga, vivo aquí en Bello y soy el director deportivo de COSDECOL, la Corporación Social y Deportiva de Colombia. Bueno, soñamos con la oportunidad de poder contar con ustedes de tiempo completo acá, implementando el programa en todas nuestras categorías y obviamente contribuyendo a través del programa al mejoramiento de las condiciones físico-atléticas de cada uno de nuestros dirigidos. Bueno, todo, significa todo. Soy un enamorado de Dios, de lo que ha hecho en mi vida. Soy agradecido con Dios por el poder transformador que Él tiene en la vida de una persona. Me llamó a través del deporte, me rescató y ahora soy un fiel testigo del verdadero poder transformador de Dios en la vida de una persona y estoy acá para servirle a Dios a través del deporte.
Trouble comes, but you never let it take me. I hold fast, 'cause I know that you will save me. I will trust in you. I will trust in you.
Okay. Turn some lights on here. Control Chase back there. You can't, you don't want to get old because then you can't see the keyboard. See where the buttons are to turn the volume up in the dark, especially when there's an automatic mute button right next to the one that sends the volume up. Praise God. Well, anyhow, I like I said, I met with Steve and Carrie the other day, and you know, they began explaining to me about the sport ministry, and you know, and I'll be honest with you, I was very encouraged when she said, I challenged Steve, well, what about Christ? That confirmed that their goal is Christ through this whole ministry. We got to have bait. You got to have something that want to pull people in. And I think in what they're talking about, what they're doing, it's going to be such an awesome thing. But without further ado, please welcome Steve Sine. And I want you to know, any time a man is leaning over on crutches and towers over me, he's got my attention. Go ahead, Steve.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. We are kind of thankful and blessed to have the opportunity to present the our journey started
you'd come up here real quick. They were here a while back, we even had the wall in there, and I remember, and this has nothing to do with what we're going to do, I remember Kyle standing back here, and Steve was holding the little girl, he's picking at the little girl, and I forget who I told, I think I told Phil, I said, he's picking on the biggest guy in here, his kid. Now, if he turns around and gets whooped, we're going to let him. But anyhow, no, I want us to pray for them. They've got a booth set up back there with some stuff. If you were at, if you made it to the Compassion Cafe, which we sold out of all the food, so I guess we're going to have to double up next time. But we had their coffee, and their coffee is back there. This coffee helped support them. And just so you know how this was, when was this package? October 14th. Okay, they brought it with them, okay? It was harvested, roasted, and ground and packaged all in the same day. And then they brought it with them. So that is about as fresh as you can get. But they, I guess they also offer a way you can get more of it. So you can talk to them back there about that. See? Oh. That's yes in Tagali. Actually, I was sitting here and the Lord started telling me some certain people. Clint, you come up, Morgan. These are people I want to help pray for them. Morgan was at Ecuador? Bolivia. All right, we helped Morgan. And this is something else that they brought up, and I'm glad they did, is not only can, by helping them as well, if anybody here wants to go on a missions trip, and I encourage you to do so, it doesn't mean God's going to call you to the mission field, but then again, maybe he will. But they said you can more than welcome to come to Columbia. Just you got to have your ducks in a row, though. Your faith needs to be where it needs to be to go there, because I know theirs is. And God's opened the doors, and Trisha, come on up. Yes, that's it. All right, guys, if you'll just lay hands on them with me, and we're going to pray for them. Like I said, I know some of you have been there, and I believe God's got some things for you. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for this couple. We ask, Father, that as they go out into the world to teach your love and your kindness to the children and to the adults, Father, that you go before them. You open doors, Father. You thwart every attack that comes against them. Father, I thank you right now. You're providing each and every dollar, every dime they need to make it. And Father, we thank you that as even as they're rounding their trip out, Lord, that there will be more support coming in from more churches, Lord. And Father, that as they go back into Columbia, Father, that more doors and opportunities are opened and your provision is made for each and every step that they need, Lord. I thank you and praise you for your protection around about them. We plead the blood of Jesus over them. And thank you, Father, that they've been obedient to your word and to your call. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, praise God. All right. Well, they'll tell you more in after service. And if we can make sure we have the offering container back there as well. That if you want to give them some support today, whatever, make the check out to the church, and we'll just write them one check, okay? All right. Well, praise the Lord. Tell you what, I was excited. Kyle stopped me last week and said that they would like to talk to me, and I said, well, okay, we'll meet with them. But I told him later, I said, the Holy Spirit had already told me. As soon as he started speaking, God said, yeah, this is of me. Go ahead. You know, I was telling them, you know, and sometimes, and this is important for us to understand, sometimes prayer and fasting is important. You've got to do it. This is not, you got what, three children now? Three. They got three kids. And they uprooted them and took them to a country that doesn't speak their language. And So they've uprooted their entire home, their entire lives. But so I want you need to be praying and fasting and knowing that that's what you've got to do. You know, Angela and I did not start this church just on a whim. If it had not been for God starting to talk to me at the age of 16, it took him 14 years to finally get it through my head what I was supposed to do. So when he said go, he brought back everything that he had already confirmed to me. Okay, but in that particular instance, I've learned to be obedient to the Holy Spirit right off the bat. So, but anyhow, just something there for you. All right. Well, as I'd said last week, I just felt that I was supposed to continue on in the vein that I was in on religion and the world. Okay? Basis of what we've been talking about is Paul is relating religion to the basic principles of this world. In other words, laws. We serve God because of law. We love God because of law. And that should not be so. If we were in a society, you know, in America, it's totally different, but in some countries today still, you have to marry that person because your ancestor said so. That's it. The law says you have to marry that one, or you can't marry this person. How many princess and prince fairy tales have we saw? Well, you can't marry him or her because, well, they're not of royalty. And I laugh every time I watch, we just watched Count of Monte Cristo again the other day, and he said, just know that the blood that flows through my veins will never flow through yours. Last time I checked, it's all red. There is no such thing as royal blood. It's something we've created to make ourselves more important than we really are. And that's what religion has done. Religion has formed a law that this is how we love God. This is how we love people. And the truth of the matter is, that was never God's intent. The whole sacrificial plan was never God's intent. There is a God of this world. People do not, and I'm going to tell you something. Jesus identified him. Now, when he said, you cannot serve God and mammon. The name of the God of this world is mammon. It's a law, it's a God that says, here's the law. You live by it. You get married, and or you even, as soon as you can start, you start collecting things. You start hoarding, you start bringing things in. And that's what Jesus was talking about. Let's start just hovering about us. Mammon is about self. God's law is always about somebody else. See, and so many people today are trying to say that, they have said, well, you know, the rich people, they're greedy. I'm going to tell you right now, some of the most generous people that I have met have got money out their ears right now. They're kind, they're generous, and some of the most stingy people I know haven't got two plug nickels to rub together, but yet they've got all these cars piled up in the back, which you might as well hold on to your cars because they're only worth $50 a ton now. You should have sold them when they were worth $300 a ton. What's that? It's down to 20 now? Yeah, it's falling fast. But people look, and I watch, you know, like shows like American Pickers. I love watching it just because I like to learn about the past and what tools and things are. Because some of those I've come across, I'm like, I don't know what that is. Walk away, and then they just paid $5,000 for it. It's like, well, that was stupid. Sometimes a lack of knowledge does cost you. But what I am constantly amazed by is the fact that somebody offers them good cash for something and it's a piece of junk, that had there not been a TV crew there and this guy offered them an enormous amount of money for something, they would have thrown it away. And that's called greed. But, oh, no, I've got an attachment to that. You know, here's the attachment I have to something. You offer me the right amount of money for something, you may have it. That's all there is to it. I can't take it with me. And I'm sorry, but I've gotten over the fact that my life is supposed to be miserable and destitute all the time. I would like to live the remaining years I have and enjoy them. Because I was told as a young boy that, well, you know, your life is supposed to be hard. If you don't work hard from sun up to sun down, then you aren't worth your salt. Well, you know what I've gotten out of that? A bad back, bad knees, bum shoulder. That's what I've gotten out of it. I didn't get holier to God. That's what religion taught me. Religion tried to say, well, you know, if you want to know God, you got to work. Idle hands are the devil's playground. You know, I understand the whole premise of this. But the problem is, we don't know when to stop with the control. And the Apostle Paul was trying to get people to understand. Jesus Christ did not come to control. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter 4. We're going to go back to verse 21. We ended there last week. It says, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. Okay, so he's saying there were two covenants, there were two promises, or two lines. There's the flesh. That's the way we do things. Okay? In Abraham's mind, it made full sense for him to impregnate Hagar. It made complete sense because his wife was barren. But God's promise was through the barren woman, not through the way of the flesh. How many times have we gotten into doing something on our own and we mess it up? Oh, man, God, if I'd have just held off 10 more minutes. You know, if I have to think about it. As a hunter, a couple years ago, I went out to my stand and I drug my feet. God, I'm going to go. And I'd gotten into an argument and it was just all mad and everything. And I got out there to my tree stand and I got right up to this one spot and I saw this big old buck walking out of the finger behind the woods where I was hunting, and he just kept right on walking right towards the woods I was hunting, and I'm not in the woods yet. Had I not taken the time to get my panties in a wad, I would have been in my tree stand, because when I got in the woods and I ran, once we got out of sight of each other, I ran across the wood, front of the woods, so I could get to the opening, and I got in there just in time to watch him walk directly under my tree stand. 10 minutes was the difference between me going without filling my tag and having a big buck. But it didn't happen, because I tried to do something on my own. I took a situation and I blew it all apart. And see, that's what happened. Abraham took a situation and, okay, I'm going to take Hagar. Well, here's the problem with Hagar. Does anybody know who her descendants are today? They're the Arabs. Guess who they fight constantly and who they hate and despise? The descendants of Isaac, the son of promise. So what Abraham did, hastily, not thinking, messed things up. Because he said, I'm going to do this my way. I'm going to do this the way that somebody else talked me into. There's been so many things in my life I've looked back, it's like, why am I so stupid? Why did I not just do what I knew was right and forget what somebody else had to say? Well, Pastor, you know, it's good to take advice from, you know, people. Well, if those people don't know what they're talking about, it's not advice. it's well-meaning instruction that had no basis. I even had a person when we started this church wanted to talk to me, and it was our previous pastor, and he wanted to give me well-meaning advice. Well, that was great, except I knew God said for me to do this. Nobody was twisting my arm, because you can ask my wife, this was the furthest thing from my mind I wanted to ever do. I was happy with sitting in the sound booth, happy being an usher, happy doing whatever else I had to do. I did not want to be up on the stage. And I said, well, you know, I appreciate your concern, but I know that this is God. And if it's God, I got to do it, and I got to do it fast. I got to do it now. It's just been my MO. It's the way God's always worked with me. When I enlisted in the Marine Corps, I was actually just taking the ASVAB test to see what I could do. Had no clue, no intentions of enlisting that night. Lo and behold, 8 years later, when I finally got my honorable discharge certificate, it worked out to be God's plan, and it was just like that. All right, so we got to be careful that the things that we think are God and not our flesh crying out. Because sometimes our flesh cries out and says, oh, this is a good thing. All right, so now let's go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Now keep in mind, he's not talking about sin here. Now I will throw that at you, don't be entangled by sin again. But he's not talking sin. He's talking religion. He's talking about the control that has nothing to do with God. God was always about relationship from day one with Adam and Eve. He didn't create the heavens and the earth and all the animals and then take the time to mold man and say, I need another little monkey that'll do what I say. He said, I'm not fellowship. That's why he went down into the garden. I mean, I've talked about what did it sound like. Maybe it was God's throne moving through the garden. Or maybe it was just all the animals. You know, if you've ever been in the woods, animals will start making noise as you're walking through there. They're letting the other animals know somebody is in the woods. The unfortunate thing is crows are usually the ones that do it, and they tell everybody that there's a deer hunter in the woods. Specifically, if I can lock in on crow language, I know that's what they're saying. But he wanted the relationship with mankind. That's why he made us in his image. I didn't have children so I could have slaves. That just happened to work out okay for a few years. So he says, do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Again, that's signifying that you were a slave, a prisoner to this. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. So, again, we're not talking about sin because we instantly start going into legalism. He starts talking about circumcision. If you need to become circumcised in your flesh to be identified as a son of promise by God, it profits you nothing. What Christ did on the cross was null and void. That's why he said the traditions of men have made the word of God of no effect. Well, God, you'll only move if I do this. Now listen, if God told you to do something, you had better stinking doggone do it. That's all there is to that. But God will not withhold his love because you didn't do something. The situation may not work out the way you was hoping. There is obedience. And I believe that's what James is talking about when he said faith without works is dead. That you're justified by your works. Your works are not the things you do. It's your obedience to God. If God says, hey, I want you to stop and give that person a gallon of milk, it's not for you to ask why. Yours is to do or die. Give them the milk. And then watch what God does in your life. Okay? And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. See, here's what we want to do. We want to just take little tidbits of things that people see and they think, well, you know, I've been circumcised. I'm a child of God. I'm a descendant of Abraham. You ain't jack squat. Because it means absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. It doesn't mean that you're any more holier than a person who is not. The unfortunate thing is Peter actually began telling people they had to be circumcised. Peter still had some, he still was ingrained with religion, even though he had spent nearly 3 years walking with the Savior. He still had to get past this. That's why God used Paul so much, was because Paul understood it was about a relationship with him and not with the Ten Commandments. That's why I don't care if the Ten Commandments are posted or not. The church doesn't keep them. I'm serious about that. Thou shalt not covet. Honor the Lord your God. Don't take his name in vain. By the way, that word vain means any other use than addressing him. So all your OMGing, it's what you just did, honey. I'm sorry. So, he said, now you're a debtor to keep the whole law. He said, you have become estranged from Christ. In other words, you're not even with Christ. Christ has nothing to do with the law. He fulfilled the requirements of the law as set forth by the God of Mammon. The God of this world said, there has to be blood. There has to be. It's a natural way. That's why it's an eye for an eye in this world, in the natural world, is it not? Natural world is not, well, you know what? I forgive you. You harmed me, but I forgive you. Natural, we were just talking about this today, a couple sucker punch stories. It was not in our natural nature to just say, oh, you know, I understand you had something was wrong in your brain housing group today. No. If you've never been sucker punched, well, I won't pray that you receive one, but I have been, and it's not fun. You do not think, oh, I just got punched. You don't think. You react. And you want to go rip their head off and flush it down the toilet. That's what you want to do in the flesh. So he says, now if you are trying to embrace the law, you become estranged from Christ, who attempt to be justified by law. You've fallen from grace. But yet we say the person who fell. Just about did it. It's been 10 years. We say the person that fell, the person that stumbled in their faith, they fell from God's grace. They never fell from God's grace. You fall from God's grace when you embrace the law and say, this is how I'm justified. Now, let me show you something else. People are out there now, oh, I got hurt, I got this. Is there anybody in here not been hurt? Thank you. Because I was going to have to lay hands and cast out a lying spirit if you raised your hand. Everybody has been hurt. Okay? But when we start saying, you know, because of this, I don't trust, I'm going to serve God my way. Listen, if you got to serve God God's way. Not our way. My way of serving God does not get me anywhere. It does not encourage me to bless other people, to speak to other people. It says, hold up inside me and be selfish. Just take that one feeling. That's what selfishness does. I'm not going to get into it today, but I think we are going to have to just keep trucking right on into the rest of Galatians 5 here. I wasn't going to do it, but I think we're going to. Because I think it's vitally important for us to see there's a purpose for church. for this gathering. It stirs up love. It stirs up serving one another, which is what all Christians are called to do. We're not called to just sit back and be on our hands. I praise God for people like Steve and Carrie. They could have just chose to sit back in their church. They were probably comfortable. But God said, no, I want you to sell. How many of you would like to do that? I'm going to go sell everything I've got, and everything that doesn't sell, I got to give away because I can't take it with me. I wouldn't want to do that. I got too much junk. I got too many treasures. That's why I call them when I go to the junkyard. I go in and pay for myself. Say, I found a couple of treasures. So somebody who fell in their faith while they were running isn't somebody who fell from grace. It's the person who chooses that since the time of Christ, since the time of the cross, to live by legalism. That's the person who fell from grace. Because they aren't living by grace. They're living by law. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Now the apostle goes on to say, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? In other words, who tripped you up? You were doing so good and not being religious. Who tripped you? Who taught you? You've heard me say this before. People, we have got to start reading the Bible as if they were real people, because they were, with real personalities. Now, I'm sure me and the Apostle Paul and a few things might have butted heads. Saying if we don't butt heads, then we're not people. We're all butt heads. If you can't laugh at that, then. So who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. From Jesus Christ who calls you. That's where it came from. It does not come from him that, you know, this is how you're going to serve me. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Again, we preach this verse right here. We preach verse 9. I've never heard it preached on anything other than sin. And while that works, let's go back to the context of the scripture. A little legalism, a little religion, contaminates the whole bunch. We all become religious. We all become cold. That is why today in churches there are schisms about, well, you sat in my chair. You meant to do that. You know I sit there. I'm going to tell you what, you might come in next week and your seat may not be where it was. I may just get a wild hair and decide to move the chairs. I'm the one that decides that. Well, I think there ought to be a committee to stop you from doing that. That ain't happening. You want a committee? Go down the road. I know a church down the road, committee rose up, they ran their pastor out because he said, we need to be doing this. Problem is, I know the men that were on the committee and they killed the last church they were in with their religion. It's not about, well, this is common sense. God does not always work through common sense. Well, Pastor, you know, I don't know. It doesn't make good sense for a man to move his young family down to South America, does it? But if God told the man to do it, it does. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. See, Paul still doesn't know who he was, but he said, this man, because of what he's teaching you, will bear judgment for his false teaching. Right now, there's a lot of preachers that taught a lot of garbage. They're not going back correcting. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not patting myself on the back here, but I told you the other day, I had thoughts. I had firm burnings and beliefs in me. And there's some of them things I'm still holding on to. I still won't celebrate Halloween. Okay? Why do I want to worship the dead? That's what the whole thing was about. Okay? I don't care about your Easter bunnies. I don't care about your Easter eggs. I just don't care about those things. It doesn't make one iota. Don't care about your Christmas tree. Everything we do has a connection with paganism. Really. It does. Well, let's light a candle. I can take you right here and show you where that's pagan. That stuff does not matter. But what I started doing, and I said, I was wrong. Because I didn't understand God's grace. I was listening to Jimmy Evans the other day, great, great preacher. And he was saying, he said, listen, if we are not changing what we believe when we have new revelation, then there's a problem. If we still say, well, that tornado is caused by a spirit. There's demons, there's angels in heaven, and the demons, they're flying around and they're fighting each other. No, it's a high pressure and a low pressure colliding. We assign mystical powers to things that don't have them. Well, the Bible talks about the spirits here and the spirits. There are real spirits, yes. But they're not thunderstorm spirits. Not every storm that rises up is of demonic influence. But you still have power over it. Jesus just told the wind, shh, be quiet. I can imagine what the disciples were doing. Get their little tea leaves out, maybe their holy water, and we're going to cast a demon out of that storm system. Here's the problem. The Messiah was on the same boat they were, and yet he was asleep. In the same boat they were at, and the water's coming in, and he's in the bow, and he's getting wet. He's sound asleep. Doesn't bother him one bit. Why? He's not walking in legalism. Legalism says, okay, water fills the boat, boat sinks, right? The last time I was in a boat that got water, that's what happened. But faith said, this boat isn't sinking. And faith works through love. And the epitome of love is right there, sound asleep. Do you seriously think that boat was going down? How do you think Jesus walked on the water? Their next time in. What are they doing, folks? They're fighting the storm in the flesh. Jesus, he's just out for a stroll on the lake, enjoying it. He's going to walk right by him. He's going to say, you know what, you guys, I've been with you too long. You should already know by now. We've already been through this dance one time before. He still had to calm that storm. Verse 11, and I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. Now, listen, the persecution he was receiving was from the religious. It's from the religious people. That's where he got all of his persecution. You know the Romans didn't care about Paul? They didn't care one iota about Paul. To Paul, in the Roman Empire, all Paul was just another zealot. But he was a Roman citizen. And they weren't going to do anything to him. It was the Jews who were persecuting. The religious people. The people that said, you know what, you've got to look a certain way. You've got to smell a certain way. I appreciate you smelling good when you come in here. Did you imagine 60, 80 people in here that ain't showered? I've been in a situation. We had 80 guys in our platoon and they shoved us in the shower one time with all of our clothes on. Now, let me tell you right now, it was a little funky in that shower because we weren't in there to take a shower. We ran in place. We did jumping jacks. We did push-ups, kicked each other in the face. 80 guys inside a shower smaller than this section of chairs. That was not fun, and we did not smell good. So, yeah, You can shower. You can clean up. It's good to do that. But it doesn't mean you're closer to God. Because I promise you right now, during the time of Jesus Christ, when he was walking on this earth, there was one man who did not live in a civilized situation. And yet at that point in life, he said, there's one coming ahead of me who I'm not worthy to undo his sandals. That was John the Baptist. He wore camel hair. They stink. They reek. He ate what he could find out in the woods. Yeah, I know, he was a Baptist. He was baptizing all the time, right? So he's in the river. He's in the Jordan. Let's keep that in mind. It was a contaminated river. It stunk. How many of you can remember Lake Erie and of the rivers coming up around there in the 70s? Anybody? There's a few of you who are not even old enough to know what I'm talking about. I was there. I remember. Lake Erie reeked. It was so polluted. We lived up there. Cleveland stunk. Just depends on where you go. So John the Baptist stunk. It wasn't about being clean and being closer to God. The scribes and Pharisees were upset with the disciples for not washing their hands. Do you know how many times I've eaten without washing my hands? Quite regularly. I only wash them, I think about, what did I touch last? Oh, it was just a little dirt. No big deal. Okay, well, it was maybe some rat poison. I think I'm going to go wash my hands. But as a mechanic, I saw somebody posted something the other day about mechanics' hands and eating lunch. He's eating his sandwich and his hands are black as grease. Sometimes you do. But we cannot get hooked back into thinking that if we do things religiously, that this brings God honor, that if I'm religious, just as one man I ran into town said, a preacher, where's your cross around your neck? Never wore a cross, never will. And yet this man's a respected businessman who I think just went a little goofy. Because he knows better. He shouldn't have done that. Because all he did something to try to embarrass me in front of a sinner. What? You take it up with God, Jack. I don't have to have a cross. I don't have to have a fancy little collar. Don't have to wear a robe. Although if I was going to wear a robe, there's a movie I watched one time. The preacher standing up. I would wear clothes. Yes, I would. The preacher had this little country church on a river, little stony river in the bottom of the mountains. They're hollering for the preacher. Preacher, pastor, where yet? Here the pastor comes out in his hip waders, his fly rod and his basket, throws the fly rod and the basket down in the thing, throws his robe on, jumps up in the pulpit and starts preaching. That I could justify. But there's no trout streams nearby, so I guess I'll just wear my biker boots and my blue jeans. Verse 12, I could wish, here's Paul's sense of humor. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. He's saying, I wish they'd circumcise themselves a few more times. Just cut it off. That's the Apostle Paul. It does say that, right? Yeah. That's what he's talking about. When I realized, I was like, Paul had a sense of humor. But he's talking about how detrimental teaching religion is. Let me put it this way. I want you to come to church because you want to get closer to God. Does that make more sense? Not because you have to. I want you here because you want to be here. That's the law of love. Oh, I know we got a bunch of deer hunters in. The deer run on Sunday morning too. But I praise God you're here. Because Because getting to know the creator of the deer is better than getting a deer and walking away later. Because, well, I never knew the creator. I'm sorry, and I'm not getting, and like I said, I don't get religious. You know, praise God, if you're going away on Sunday, enjoy your trip. There was a time in life I couldn't have said that, because that's how religious I had gotten. It's like, that's cold and regimented. And that kind of garbage is the exact reason I rebelled. For you, brethren, who have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. That's what we do here when we come together. We serve one another. We greet you. You know, it's fascinating to me how total strangers can come in and we can show them the same love as we do each other. That's amazing. That's the love of God. One of the, Brenda, you've been here a long time. She's been here, shortly after the first, once we moved over to Douglas Street. And she said, I stayed because I felt loved. You're part of my family. Well, then why don't you treat me like, listen, you can ask my own sister. We don't get together all the time. I know people think, well, you go to church with your sister. Yeah, I see her more here than I do on the outside. And yet, we get together, family functions or whatever, and we're still brother and sister. We still love each other. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. In other words, folks, even though we do not have to live by the law. Okay. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That is in the Bible. We don't do it not because of legalism. We don't do it because we love the other person. There's many people today walking and breathing, not because the Bible says thou shalt not kill, but because I choose to love them. I'll throw that all on myself, because I'm sure there's a few of you in here who think, oh, I can think of a few people this week. But how about we remember the Sabbath, the take a break day for us? Enjoy it. Love God. That's why we don't have a Sunday evening service. Oh, Pastor, you need a Sunday evening service. You know, it's all about, that's religion. That's why I canceled Wednesday services. It was all about religion, nothing about loving God. It started back in the day when people didn't have Bibles all the time, didn't have five networks of preaching coming into their homes, let alone radio stations and internet access. They needed to know the Word. We come together today so that we can stir that up in each other. But we should not use our liberty as opportunities to serve our flesh. Because I'm going to tell you what happens here. And this is real easy. Okay, one Sunday, I'm going to go do something. Okay, great, praise God. Next Sunday, your friends, hey, Art, what do you think? Let's go do this one. It's going to be Sunday. You'll have to miss church. Well, I missed last week. But you know what? Pastor said, I'm not under legalism. I'm going to go. Sunday number 3 comes in. Guess what happens? It's a whole lot easier to say, I'm going to go there and not to church. You know what happens? You will walk away. I promise you. That's how easy it was for me. The first Sunday, I walked away in offense. I'll tell you right now. One of the NCOs in my unit had said something. He was supposedly a Christian. He said something off the wall that was just as stupid as Patrick Starr from SpongeBob. And I said, you know what? I've had it. 30 years of dealing with this, or 20 at that point, 20 years of listening to garbage like this, I'm done. Hey, you gonna come to church, Woody? No. No, I'm going to go do something else. Next Sunday, knocks on my door. Hey, you coming? No. Third Sunday, you coming? No. Till sometime in September, as I'm laying there so stoned out of my mind and drunk that I'm afraid I'm going to die from either alcohol poisoning or vomit and choke on it that night, I realized how far away I'd gotten. I said, God, I don't want to know you through religion, through a preacher, through my wife, through family. I want to know you personally. If we can do that, then I'll serve you. And here I am. But you see, religion didn't bring me back. What happened was, I got offended. This guy was a baby, had no clue what he was being taught. Problem is the guy that was teaching him didn't know any better either. And he was a nice, one was a nice enough guy, the pastor of that church in Okinawa was a nice enough guy. And I think I dated the other one's sister. Because she told me her brother was a preacher on Okinawa. Well, there's only so many Christian churches on Okinawa. By the way, he's one of the ones that told me that I would be standing in front of kings, one of three, that I would be standing in front of kings and generals. That I would be a pillar. God used them still. But if we can't say, God, I want to be here. I want this. Then we're not going to get anywhere. I got to stop right there. Because there's one thing that I will be legalistic about is the fact your backside goes to sleep. And your mind can only endure what your backside can put up with. Like I said, I will continue. I was going to stop with this message today, but I don't think that's possible because the Apostle Paul did not stop at verse 15. You got to teach the whole message, don't we? I mean, you can take out excerpts from things and teach a message on them, but if you cannot keep following in the vein, because I'm going to show you some things here in a little bit about what the Apostle Paul was talking about. You know, in our house, we've discovered that, you know, maybe we've put on a few pounds and time to shed them or whatever. And so, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And I was taking it to where I wasn't eating. You can ask Angela, she's like, when are you going to eat? What is your problem? We have food. I wouldn't eat until about 8 o'clock at night. You'd think I'd start losing some weight because I was working. I didn't drop a pound. As a matter of fact, I think I gained. Stepped on the scale the other day and I said, I cast that lying spirit out of you in Jesus' name. So, and I think God has showed me some things I need to start cutting back on. I've had 2 sweet teas all week. Y'all that know me know that's a lot. Because even though I was trying to do one, well, see, I was like, oh, just cut it all out. You can't do that. Exactly. I was like, why does my head hurt so bad? I said, oh, okay, I got to drink coffee. Okay, I got sick of drinking coffee all day. I'm hot. I don't drink hot stuff when I'm hot. Oh, yeah. Well, I wasn't cutting the caffeine out. We're going to deal with that demon later. It was the demon of the sugar. And I was like, man, I have no energy. And I told her, I said, you know what? I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to take a break from it. You know, here's the trend. We starve ourselves throughout 5 days, and in a weekend, it's a freebie, right? What do we do on the weekend? We stop at the store on our way home and buy all the chocolate snack cakes that we've been depriving ourselves of, and we eat all weekend, and we gain everything we lost back. We put ourselves in a legalistic situation that does not benefit us. There's healthy. I'm going to put it this way. I did not eat healthy in the Marine Corps whatsoever. No, I don't know about you, Kyle, but we didn't eat healthy. There were more chips and snacks and pop cans. And, yeah, exactly. We were burning more than 2,000 calories a day. But yet we were the strongest thing. You don't go pick on a little guy this big around. Oh, he's a wimp. You'd be surprised what that little guy that big around can do when he's nothing but muscle. And he cheats, that's right. So, but I'll finish up. We'll continue on next week. How's that? I ain't going to say we'll finish up. I thought I was going to finish up last week. Yeah, that wasn't happening. So, just remember, One Ministry Foundation has got their stuff set up in the back. They'll be back here. You can talk to them about all their stuff. Coffee's back there, T-shirts. I think you saw some little wrist braided thingies, bracelets, I guess. I'm not into all what they call everything. My sons come home, they're wearing this band, and then they've got these commando bands that are all braided paratrooper lines. Like, by the time I get that undone, I've already fallen. So, be sure to stop back here and talk to them. And like I said, if you'd like to go ahead and just give help them out with some support, the offering container should be back there. Just go ahead and put a check in the thing. We'll, or you can put cash. We'll just write them one big check. And that way they only have to stop one time and deal with the banking. So having said that, let's stand. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for your word. And Father, we thank you for what Jesus Christ really, truly did for us. Not only did his blood satisfy the requirement for sin in this, on this earth, but Father, he set us free from the legalistic rule of this earth. Father, that we were originally supposed to be the masters, not order, not laws. That if we wanted a tree to get up and move, we merely needed to speak to that tree to get up and move. Father, I thank you and praise you that what Jesus Christ has done is being recognized even today, not just in this body, but in churches and through preachers throughout the world, Lord, that believers are realizing that they're free from the, truly free indeed from the law of sin and death. And Father, I thank you that each and every believer here today will take even just a tidbit of what I've learned from you, Father, and they will put it into their life, Father, and they will come to grow to know you. I don't want them to know you through me. I want you and them to know each other intimately. So, Father, as they draw near to you, I know, Lord, you will draw near to them. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord, I bless them. I thank you for them as they go in and out through businesses they're this week, Lord, that they will be blessed, Father. Their places of employment will be blessed. Lord, that everything they touch for good will prosper. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.